When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These are your top six wide receivers for week three of fantasy football. Justin Jefferson against the Los Angeles Chargers, Tyreek Hill against the Denver Broncos, and Stephon Diggs, the Washington Commanders. Hayden, those are your top three this week.
Yeah, those guys are locked and loaded. Tyreek is going to be without Jalen Waddle, which means even more schemed up opportunities. I know he's facing Patrick Surtain, but also one of the better safeties in the league, Justin Simmons for the Broncos. He's out. I think the surprise ranking is number four, Mr. Keenan Allen.
Yeah, let's talk about them because Keenan Allen faces the Minnesota Vikings. He's wide receiver 8 in consensus and wide receiver 4 for you. 6 for 76 in week 1, 8, 11, and 2 touchdowns. Also, over the last 2 weeks. It's been pretty cool to see a slight role shift also for Keenan Allen this year in comparison to previous seasons.
Yeah, and just over the last 11 games, he's averaging over 7 catches per game. And then this week, no Austin Eckler. The Vikings are really bad on defense everywhere, and this is one of these games that we're going to be chasing here. Looking at the charts, the Chargers and the Vikings, we have CeeDee Lamb up here as well. So all the best wide receivers up in this quadrant for the most part. So we'll be chasing the points with Keenan Allen and then eventually Mike Williams.
According to my guy Rich Rebar, 16% of Keenan Allen's routes have been 20 or more yards down the field after a 7.5% rate in 2022. So over double, we're getting downfield routes. He doesn't move quite like CeeDee Lamb, but if we want to copy and paste the CeeDee Lamb usage that we got with the Dallas Cowboys and Kellen Moore, we're seeing more and more of that drift towards Keenan Allen, and that just raises the ceiling for one of the best wide receivers in the league for a long time. Okay, 5 and 6, Devontae Adams against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then CeeDee Lamb, and expected a ton of points to score for the Dallas Cowboys against the Arizona Cardinals.
This is both of them eruption spots for Devontae Adams and CeeDee Lamb. In my notes I have for Devontae Adams, I mean, the Steelers corners, they've gotten huge games against Brandon Ayuk and Amari Cooper. Obviously, Devontae Adams is better than both of them. And then with CeeDee Lamb, Cardinals just put Buda Baker on IR as well. So obviously, huge game opportunities for both of them.
We do get Jacoby Myers back almost certainly this week. Does that do anything to Devontae Adams and how you consider him based on Jacoby Myers getting all of the production in week one, then missing week two?
Yeah, I think that was just kind of fluky. I will say, even if you chop off a little bit of the target share, the Raiders need to move the ball. Like, that's been their big problem, is that they have not picked up first downs through 2 weeks. I think Jacoby Myers being on the field will actually help them move the ball because we want Devontae Adams in the red zone.
By the way, these are all the rankings that you can find in the description down below, Hayden Winks's Fantasy Blueprint. And because we record this on a Friday, we do not have the Thursday Night Football wide receivers listed. I will tell you, scouts honor, that Hayden had Deebo Samuel as wide receiver 7 this week for all the things that we talked about, all the reasons we talked about on the quarterback rankings and tier show. And go and check out the running back one as well.
Were you a Boy Scout? You have Boy Scout energy.
Oh, this is a much longer conversation that I should not keep for this, but my wife's dad is very much affiliated to the Eagle Scouts and the Boy Scouts and goes to the Jamborees and photographs all of those. I was the best Life Scout you've ever seen. So I quit right before I finished because, you know, sports took hold. But that was a barrier I had to clear in order to take her hand in marriage. Let's put it that way. To earn it. Okay, let's go to your wide receiver 7 this week. And that is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley faces the Houston Texans. Wide receiver 11 in consensus. So you're slightly ahead here.
Texans right now missing Derek Stingley, their cornerback 1. The cornerback 2, Tavier Thomas, who actually is like number 2 in PFF grade, he's out. Jalen Petrie, their center, he's out. Denzel Perryman, starting linebacker, he's out. So this is a great game for Calvin Ridley. Obviously projected for a bunch of points at home. And then also on top of that, Calvin Ridley has a negative 10 completion percentage, over expected, we will expect that thing to positively regress, especially if Zay Jones, who has not practiced this week,
right,
is going to miss. So like literally everything has fallen in line for Calvin Ridley to have a huge bounce back week two or week three. And
yeah, we'll see what happens with the Zay Jones trickle down when we talk about Christian Kirk a bit later on. I think consensus would be even higher on Calvin Ridley if he, you know, scored one or two of those near touchdowns so far through 2 weeks. AJ Brown is your wide receiver 8. He gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, still a talented defense. I also believe the public sentiment towards AJ Brown early on this season would be quite different if that 24-yard touchdown that was negated by a holding penalty was allowed to stand.
Yeah, I have squeaky wheel that after he and Hurts were yelling at each other for a minute there. But yeah, I'm basically throwing away the start to the season. We know AJ Brown's going to get his over the course of the season. And the Buccaneers are fine, but Carlton Davis, he's been on the injury report. Jamil Dean's not the same player as he was a couple seasons ago when the pass rush for the Buccaneers were a little bit better.
You know, I think the rushing success is really almost pivotal here for AJ Brown and Davante Adams to both hit their ceilings in any given week, because that, you know, draws single high coverage that gives these one-on-ones for these monsters. Obviously that worked against the Minnesota Vikings for Devontae Smith. It almost did for AJ Brown, but we'll see how they hand out the running back rotation. And again, we talked about that in the running back tiers and rankings video. Okay. Next for you is Ja'Marr Chase as your wide receiver 9. Ja'Marr Chase faces the Los Angeles Rams. Slow start. Wide receiver 44 on just 39 yards and 5 catches, and then wide receiver 60 with 5 catches and 31 yards last week.
I'm assuming that Joe Burrow is going to play through but not be as effective on his calf injury with this ranking. We will adjust once we get further confirmation on where Burrow's status is. The Rams have been playing above expectation, but they are starting day 3 talent all throughout the secondary. That's just a fact of the matter. Ja'Marr Chase, even though the slow start, even though the targets aren't there, even though the downfield targets have not been there completed yet, we know that's going to regress positively here. So I'm factoring in that the Bengals are not the same Bengals that we're used to, but I'm not going to get too crazy here. Ja'Marr Chase is still wide receiver 1.
You know, after 1 week, you don't want to overreact. After 2 weeks, you have a little bit more information. And then after 3 weeks, we have like the real deal foundation and sample size that we can research and evaluate on. It's time, Bengals, you know, like this is the week where you really do have to do something. And it's so fascinating that we, once again, we get a slow start for Ja'Marr Chase, that same one that we got last year. However, it's like a totally different reason why we got it, because in week 6, they obviously flipped and went purely shotgun and let Joe Burrow see the defense and just deliver. And now Ja'Marr Chase is once again asking for more vertical shots, which goes back to that running hot during his rookie season, but that is far less efficient. We'll see. We'll see what they roll out here in week 3, because hopefully they have some of the answers to the problem so far. Okay, rounding out your top 10 is the man, the myth, the already legend, Puka Nacua, wide receiver 13 in consensus as he faces those Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, so the Bengals, I don't think their defense is as good as it was previously. Like I've said before, Puka is going to be facing a second-round corner on the perimeter. We like targeting rookie corners out there. And Steve and I broke this thing down. Like, really what it comes down to with Puka is his reliability against zone coverage. And then he has just enough skills and man covers, not athleticism, but hand fighting, good releases, timing on, like, timing up with, like, the RPO looks. Like, you have to be on the same page with that stuff. He's a veteran there, and he has Matthew Stafford's trust. So first read looks, no one has been targeted more on those in the NFL than Puka. So I am a believer as a wide receiver 1.
Yeah, wanted to throw this up there because when you look at these two charts, you're like, oh, this looks very similar. And then it's actually 2023 Puka Nacua against the San Francisco 49ers, and then 2022 Cooper Kupp. So actually, their targets are coming in like slightly different ways. Lord Reeves pointed this out. Nacua has 4 receptions for 38 yards in the slot, 10 receptions lined up as left wide receiver, another 11 receptions lined up as right wide receiver. Yeah. So to me, that means that they can, 1, coexist, but 2, it's all about that feel. And it sounds so simple in zone coverage and sitting in it, and then a quarterback that trusts you in that environment. Really on my radar that Jordan Rodriguez this week points out that Puka Nacua has joined the Breakfast Club to go along with Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. And it's a joke, but if we knew that in training camp, I would have honestly advocated a little bit more for Puka Nacua.
And we saw the Grateful Dead t-shirts, which Cooper Kupp is notorious to be wearing too. But yeah, I agree with you. Cooper Kupp, the way he runs his routes is a lot more option routes. And I think he's better kind of in the scramble drill environment, because I think Cooper Kupp's just a much better athlete than Puka is. But Koopa's like winning like real routes. A lot of them against zone coverage, but most of the league is against zone coverage. So don't hold that against him. If you're good against zone coverage, that means you're good on 80% of snaps.
Yeah. He's been targeting 40% of routes. Cooper Kupp, his historic 2021 season, they target him on 30% of his routes. Again, big praise to the fantasy people that ranked Puka Nacua as like a top 14 wide receiver after his week one. Again, now that we have 2 weeks of information, this style of targeting him just doesn't simply vanish. He should be listed as a top 12 wide receiver moving forward until we have more information on Cooper Kupp. And we'll get to Tutu Atwell, not to be overshadowed here in a little bit. Okay, Mike Williams is your wide receiver 11 this week, start of tier two. He's wide receiver 15 in consensus. Once again, we're here on Fridays, and Hayden Winks ranks Mike Williams ahead of consensus.
Positive regression candidate. He's the wide receiver 16 in usage, even though the first game the Chargers didn't pass the ball that much. I think it's a huge wide receiver versus cornerback advantage for Mike Williams playing on the perimeter. And this game has the highest over under on the week at 54 points. Underdog Fantasy Pick'em Lobby, which we love to reference here, has his higher lower at 61.5 receiving yards. That is borderline wide receiver one numbers right there. And I think that Mike Williams is one of the most live wide receivers to score a touchdown this week, because the pass game environment, I think, is really strong for Mike Williams. So nearly had a couple touchdowns in the previous weeks. He's due for a couple big ones moving forward.
Amon-Ra St. Brown checks in as wide receiver 12 for you. He's facing the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to assume that a toe injury that they had to insert a steel plate into the shoe is a factor here.
Yeah, that's why I have him ranked lower. And I think I was one of the only people to actually watch that. That was like on the broadcast. They didn't tweet it or anything like that. And then he went DNP and limited, and it looked like he kind of got that toe kind of just like caught up when he got tackled. So I was looking at the Twitter doctors, and they said that even if he does play, he could have a little bit less effectiveness. Now the Pick'em Lobby still has him at 71.5 receiving yards. And I also want to mention the Falcons defense has some dogs on it this year, and they run the ball so effectively on the other side of the ball here. So just a little bit lower on Amon-Ra with St. Brown than I usually am, even though he's a USC legend.
But obviously, as a top 12 wide receiver, he's in lineups no matter what. Devontae Smith as your wide receiver 13. Again, that same Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. You write he's the wide receiver 7 on wide receiver 36 usage. Good players outperform usage expectations.
Yeah, completely agree. And the Jalen Hurts stuff, I think, will get better. They're dead last in success rate on their passes. They are not the worst passing team in the league. I feel pretty comfortable with that.
DK Metcalf against the Carolina Panthers is up next for you. I just had this thought in my head. So obviously no J.C. Horn. He's going to miss for a very long time.
Yeah.
Their outside corners right now are Dante Jackson and C.J. Henderson. And as we saw, Michael Thomas, albeit a less explosive but similarly built player to DK Metcalf, just totally bodied these corners on the outside. Contested throws, leverage advantage. I'm going to just pluck it out of the air. I mean, I think DK Metcalf could potentially have a top 6 week.
I think I'm probably ranking him higher than other people are. We got to talk about the 1 yard line, got hit in the ribs, and that's why he's been on the injury report. I think that he'll play through those rib injuries just as he did last week. To me, just like his film just looks way better this year. Like he's legitimately routing people up, but we haven't even seen like the 50 yard catch down the sideline yet. I think that type of stuff is coming. Like you said, Panthers defense, they're just missing a couple guys all of a sudden. And I think there's trickle down effects once you kind of have that.
They're going to have to create negative plays from Geno Smith. Like it's going to have to be a Hall of Fame game from Brian Burns and Frankie Louvu of those types in order for the Panthers to have a chance in this environment. Okay, Michael Pittman is your wide receiver 15. He's facing the Baltimore Ravens. Talk to me about Michael Pittman this season, because it sounds like we're not going to get Anthony Richardson. We don't know exactly at this time, but he has not cleared concussion protocol yet.
Still no Marlon Humphrey for the Ravens. I have a lot of respect for the Ravens defense as a whole, but I also just think that the play calling is ideal for Michael Pittman and how they're using him. His like ADOT's like 6 yards downfield, and that's a lot of that's like RPO looks. They'll do like basically verticals with all the other receivers, just make Alec Pierce just run win routes and then have Michael Pittman running across underneath for easy targets. I think those that type of target volume is fairly sticky here. He's the wide receiver 13 on wide receiver 6 usage to start. So I'm kind of staying true with that. Once again, another USC legend.
You know, I thought that Michael Pittman had the talent to win down the field. I think he still does. Mm-hmm. But with Gardner Minshew, we kind of go back to that low A-dot volume play that we saw last year. And that was even happening with Anthony Richardson after the first half of the mm-hmm. first game too. But hopefully as the season goes along, we get a bit more of the explosive downfield splash plays, especially in the intermediate area. Because again, I think Pittman has the talent to do it.
Yeah, and I think for the Gardner Minshew aspect of this, I would rather have Anthony Richardson be starting as a team. Yeah. But I think for just the passing game projection, I think that it's a wash, maybe even arguably a slight improvement for this week.
Okay. T. Higgins against the Rams is your wide receiver 16. Talk to me. Let me know.
Yeah, he's been the guy that's performing in this offense, but it's still just waiting on Joe Burrow. There's not really much to say here.
I think you have Chris Olave too low as wide receiver 17. I mean, he has 10 and 11 targets open the season. He only had two games of his final 12 to end last year with double-digit targets, and he mm-hmm. opens it again with two here, albeit in kind of different ways. We saw week one in that cool, fun, creative usage, and then in week two against those Panthers, it was just like, hey, man, just beat your corner, and I can do that too.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the Saints are going to run the ball a little bit more now that they have Kendre Miller, not Tony Jones, out there. He's also going to face some Jaire Alexander, who I have a lot of respect for. But yeah, this is kind of where he's been living, and like just usage and production so far is kind of like in the teens category. So if you want to move him up a couple spots, I'm fine with that. Underdog pick'em lobby, 64 and a half receiving yards. Sorry.
Yeah, I do want him, and I love Michael Pittman, and I like T. Higgins, but I want to put him like right here. But these are your rankings, by the way. You can find them in the description down below. I already mentioned that. And when we bring up consensus rankings, it's Fantasy Pros where they bring in about 100 different analyst rankings, and I always love to compare that to Hayden's as, you know, leverage points throughout the week. Speaking of that, Michael Evans, as your wide receiver 18 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Talked about it on Scheme this week with Colt McCoy. The old man is balling out.
Yeah, and just my notes I have, he looks fast and healthy, and like that's really what it is. I'm not expecting the Baker Mayfield, as you guys outlined on that, the third down, the pressure stuff, to be sticky. But if that stuff does regress, that means I'll have to pass even more. I'm expecting the Eagles to bounce back offensively, very much so through the air. So I think that Mike Evans in garbage time. I think we're going to be monitoring. James Bradbury has an injury. We'll see if he's going to play. I know Darius Slay, that's not a fun matchup either, but Mike Evans is, he looks just like really good right now.
Yep. Baker only took one sack so far, but he's been pressured a lot. The offensive line is holding up really well in pass pro. It's going to be interesting to see a offense that's run so hot through 2 weeks now face their toughest test, especially that a defensive front that yep. if they get their hands on Baker, will probably take him down versus these Houdini escapes he's had so far.
Yeah, and I don't think the Buccaneers offensive line actually has that much talent. So I am also nervous for the Eagles.
Okay. Tyler Lockett, your wide receiver 19, got home really well in the end zone last week. It's like they bring in this first round wide receiver, and then you just have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett continuing to produce.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba is averaging 12.5 air yards through the first two
total. Games, so. Not yeah. per target, total.
Yeah, total. So it's tough. Okay. Yeah, he still looks good, and he's just so savvy. Like both of those red zone looks were just like a guy that has the feel and the chemistry, and Geno Smith still playing well. So same old, same old.
To close out your top 20 wide receivers, it's Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper this week gets the Tennessee Titans. We talked about it, that you don't run against the Titans. You throw down the field against the Titans. And Amari Cooper, I think, over his time with Cleveland Browns, has developed into a very consistent option.
He has, and he's a positive regression candidate. He's the wide receiver 6 in air yards so far. He's wide receiver 18 in usage as a whole. Pick'em lobby, 57.5 receiving yards. That's really high. I think that you can even actually make an argument that he should go up this list, especially without Nick Chubb. I just think that they're going to, whether they like it or not, they're going to force Deshaun Watson to figure this out. And the big difference this year for Amari Cooper is more downfield looks. So it might be a little bit less consistent as it has been. But if we're trading in for even deeper targets, I think in the long run, that will end up being a good thing for Amari.
All right. Your tier three starts with everyone's favorite wide receiver sleeper this summer. It's Nico freaking Collins as the wide receiver 21. You're ahead of consensus. He's their wide receiver 25 against the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road.
The Texans through the first 2 weeks are third as a team in wide receiver fantasy usage. That's really strong stuff. And Nico Collins, I think, looks really good. He looks like he's taken another step, and he has the size, speed, X receiver traits that you're looking for. He's the wide receiver 4 in total air yard. So a lot of these targets are being thrown down the field. And I think that CJ Stroud has that fight and that accuracy and arm strength to make the most of it. And the Jaguars, I think, are a decent defense, but nothing to be scared of if you're Nico Collins.
I mean, look at these inside breakers. You can line up on the outside. You can line up in the slot, and these deep patterns of 12 to 17 yards.
Yep.
CJ Stroud is putting it on his face mask, on his body with leverage advantage. And this is where he wins constantly right now. This team has some other options that we'll talk about here in a little bit, but they almost all offer a different skill set to a wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. I will add, right now, this passing offense is totally reliant on garbage time. Mm-hmm. It is functional garbage time at the moment, but that can be wonky week to week. Like, I'm typically not someone that wants to consistently rely on that. And again, just a note, if you missed our quarterback ranking show, 43% of CJ Stroud's passing yards right now are in the fourth quarter.
I do love that you pointed out where the targets are being located, because downfield targets are worth more on average than underneath targets. And then targets over the middle of the field are also worth more than targets to the sideline, because it's easier to throw the ball down the field, down the middle. And that's where all of his targets are. So if you're looking at like wide receivers to have like 100 air yards per game, Nico Collins is the only one that's getting them consistently over the middle. That's what made the Dolphins offense, for example, last year and this year so effective. So it's really good stuff, good scheming, and good for Nico Collins to have like the ability to break inside too.
George Pickens, now as his team's wide receiver 1, is your wide receiver 22 this week against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Same exact point here. George Pickens, he's been targeted over the middle 8 times this year. Last year, that was only 15. So it's more easy targets because Deontay Johnson is out of there. They're not going to get anything from Allen Robinson or Calvin Austin or any of these other guys. Last season, the Raiders were 31st in passing EPA. They're going to be starting a 4th-round rookie corner on the perimeter against George Pickens. George Pickens has that dog in him. And also, the Raiders' defensive line, they just put Chandler Jones on the NFI list. And Tyree Wilson hasn't practiced. And when he's been on the field, that's their first-round edge rusher, he has like one pressure in like 50 snaps. So it's tough out there. The Raiders, like on paper, looked like they had maybe some fight on defense. And we've already seen that evaporate. George Pickens has that dog in him against a rookie. Let's go.
We've utilized the term make or break kind of that way for halfway through the season, you know, the first half with Kenny Pickett in this matchup, I would say. The Raiders have allowed opposing wide receivers to catch a league-high 84% of their targets.
Damn, that's impossible. That's like almost impossible. That is outrageous.
That's so bad. One of our flag plants this summer, Jordan Addison checks in as wide receiver 23. He ran a route last week on 78% of his snaps on a short week. That's compared to 66% of team dropbacks in week 1. And now we get an extended number of days until this matchup here in week 3. I would love to see that jump to 85% this week.
I think there's a chance he can get up to close to 100%. Ooh, not only is it 10 days to get back on the field, they're also 0-2. There's no time to dilly-dally, you know? And I think it's a perfect opportunity for Jordan Addison to go out there. Lots of like double moves. We got some post routes for touchdowns. Lots of fun usage for Jordan Addison. I think he can even be more consistent and not just be the downfield threat. But if that's what he is in this offense, awesome. As a reminder, Adam Thielen was 2nd in routes run in this exact offense. The Vikings, once again, 1st in neutral pass rate. This is like basically their entire team. They can't play defense. They can't run the ball. It's all pass game stuff. And if you're looking at the Chargers, the cornerback too, Michael Davis, he's 4th worst in receptions per coverage snap. And JC Jackson on the other side has been a absolute liability out there. So Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson project very well.
Other than Puka Nacua, Jordan Addison is basically lapping all the other rookies. We'll bring up Zay Flowers here in a moment, but it's pretty amazing what Jordan Addison is doing on a smaller snap count, and gives me even more optimism what he'll do on a larger snap count. And again, it could happen this week, because on throws of 10 yards or further down the field through 2 weeks, the Chargers have allowed receivers to catch 17 of 24 targets for 452 yards.
Bro, that's outrageous. Come on.
Okay. Gabe Davis is your wide receiver 24. And by the way, quickly on Jordan Addison, he was a Kevin O'Connell selection. I have that on good authority. So at some point, this is going to happen. Wide receiver 24, Gabe Davis. Last week, more of zone coverage. As we've highlighted, Gabe Davis does his best work against zone coverage. This week, Washington. We'll see.
I just know that he's playing Emmanuel Forbes on the outside. That's a rookie corner. We like to target them. And Emmanuel Forbes is 180 pounds. Gabe Davis is a big dude. Also, just random stat, he's second in EPA per target, only trailing your boy, Brandon Ayuk. So Gabe Davis, when he gets thrown the ball, it's very effective. So even though that like the pick'em lobby only has his projection at 42.5 yards, I think he's very live for touchdowns, especially if we're not going to have Dawson Knox out there. That just means that Deontay Hardy is going to play on the field more. Dalton Kincaid is going to be in the red zone more. There's like only one guy that's like really big in the red zone. His name's Gabe Davis. So I like his touchdown opportunities. And I think Washington's front seven is very good. I think that they can be kind of exploited in the secondary.
Yeah, again, it'll be on my radar because Washington has played zone coverage well below the league average rate through 2 weeks. Consensus rankings. This is another one, Hayden. Every single week, you're going to have Gabriel Davis ahead. They're wide receiver 38.
It's fun because on average, he will end up where I have him ranked. Yeah. It will just be he's the wide receiver 60, and then he's a wide receiver 7. So, like,
yeah.
So, but
totally. Zay Flowers is your wide receiver 25. Hayden, did you have a long look in the mirror and be like, I got to do this? Have Zay as the top 26 wide receiver.
Well, Odell Beckham, I have him out. I think that J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill being out also means good things for Zay because he's kind of used in those type of ways. And then I looked even more into the matchup. Their Colts corner, Daryl Baker, he's allowed the second most yards in the NFL. I think that he will be seeing some Zay Flowers. And you're getting this nice little combination of schemed up touches. And then I think he has enough speed and Lamar Jackson throw the ball downfield. And that's where you can see Zay connect like they did last week. But I do think that Justice Hill being out and J.K. Dobbins is like an intriguing aspect to the Zay Flowers profile right now.
Yeah, again, we haven't seen like a full wide receiver profile yet from Zay Flowers. It's like a bunch of manufactured short stuff and then like one vertical shot per game that's working. So I think he can still do stuff in the middle areas. Mm-hmm. He has been on a pass route for 90% and 85% of the team's dropbacks to open the season. And the Colts have already allowed four top 20 scoring wide receivers and top six scoring weeks with both opposition teams wide receiver ones getting top six numbers. Calvin Ridley, 8-101-1. Nico Collins, 7-146-1. I wouldn't put Zay Flowers in the conversation of a Nico Collins type body or a Calvin Ridley type skill set yet. But again, I'm totally with you. This should be where Zay Flowers is being ranked. Have you ever been on vacation after a long day of activities or sightseeing? You have a night in, room service, bathrobes, and television or movies. And when you're in a foreign country, you scroll Netflix or Hulu or whatever streaming service you have, and you realize that the library of content there is so much larger than it is in the United States. You start a new show, a new series, and when you get back home, you realize you now have to find that on a different service or pay for it in a different way. That is where Surfshark comes in. It's a VPN service that lets you virtually travel the world with a tap of a finger. You can go to Spain, Canada, Costa Rica to watch the content available in those countries. So you can try Surfshark today, totally risk-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And get Surfshark VPN at surfshark.deals/underdog. Or enter promo code underdog for 3 extra months for free. You heard me right, 3 extra months for free. That is surfshark.deals/underdog. Chris Godwin, wide receiver 26, up next for you.
I didn't have any like clean notes with him. This is just kind of where he's falling in line pre-draft. And then I think the Bucks are in an okay matchup for Chris Godwin. He's playing more on the outside. That's like the only kind of note I had. But I think ultimately that's not going to matter too much at the end of the year.
He's just the 1B to Mike Evans. And I think that's like the easiest way to say that. Let's have a great conversation right now because it's Tutu Atwell is wide receiver 26 and wide receiver 27. What a fun journey, if you want to put it that way, for Tutu Atwell in that second round pick, done absolutely nothing, Sean McVay got in the lab along with, let's say, Mike McDaniel and Matt LaFleur this summer and said, hey, I've got this fast guy that you can use on short motions and get out of press coverage and instead into bunch sets at full speed. Let's utilize him that way. And on some level, Hayden, his 6-for-119 and 7-for-77 on 17 combined targets has just been totally overshadowed by Puka Nacua.
I would say rightfully so, but I'm with you that the schemed up stuff is maximizing Tutu's skill set as a speed demon, and he's tied for second in the NFL in deep target. Those are 15 plus yards downfield. So my fear is that he's going to be more inconsistent than what he's shown, but he's shown an actual upside. And I think Matthew Stafford's playing well enough, and I think this matchup is good enough for Tutu to take seriously, even if like he's not going to be just winning against press man coverage on the outside like other wide receivers. We don't care about that. This is fantasy football. We care about the points.
You're 10 spots ahead of consensus here. He's wide receiver 37.
Interesting.
And you know where Tutu does lead the NFL? No wide receiver, no player has run more routes through 2 weeks than Tutu Atwell so far. Isn't that wild?
Good for him. Good for him.
So to me, that points out, though, like when the Rams do start running fewer plays in any given week based on game script or game environment or whatever, then obviously the ceilings of both Puka and Tutu Atwell will just come down that naturally, but we probably don't have that yet. Like, yeah. I love seeing this 75% Tyreek Hill usage that we're getting from Tutu Atwell right now.
I will say, like, all these stats about these Rams skill guys, it's like not going to Cooper Kupp is so tilting because like when I was saying this entire offseason that Sean McVay is going to be playing Madden, like he has literally been playing Madden this year. And I think that Cooper Kupp would have had about 400 yards already.
DeAndre Hopkins is your wide receiver 28 this week after running a route on 90% of team dropbacks in week one. Slow week of practice, Hopkins dropped down to 72.4% in week two.
Yeah, so this ranking is accounting for some of that injury woe. The playing time was down. He was just not like earning a target at the same rate last week as well. Hopefully he's better this week, but he still is on the practice report. It's always hard with DeAndre because he's always on the practice report. So you can like, it's hard to judge actually how serious his injury is. So I think like this is kind of appropriate.
DeAndre Hopkins is now averaging 9.4 yards per catch after his career low last year in 11.2 yards per catch. My fear that we have seen the cliff and we are looking over the edge with DeAndre Hopkins, I think it's in practice right now.
I will say Chig cannot earn a target and Treylon Burks can't earn a target either. So like I agree
with you. It's
a
combination of all of it. It's like his talent plus the environment that he's in.
And I think that's why the Titans like remain always projected for like 18 points on the week. Like they just don't have the explosive play unless we get that back from Derrick Henry. But it's been like a good year since we've seen the Derrick Henry 60-yard touchdowns.
Drake London is your wide receiver 29. We got one comment on our Titan rankings video saying like, oh, you didn't even talk about Kyle Pitts. Hey, it's because I don't know what to say here about Drake London and Kyle Pitts, specifically with Drake London. He's very good at his job. When given the opportunity to be good at his job, he will produce for you. But it's like, what side of the bed did Arthur Smith wake up on Sundays? Is he going to let us see that in action? Or is it just going to be the running back show?
My take is I'm done blaming any of this on Arthur Smith. This is a quarterback issue. This is all Desmond Ridder. Like if Arthur Smith had a quarterback, they would be passing the ball a ton as well.
I like that.
With Drake London. The Lions defense was supposed to be pretty feisty this year. Let me list off these injuries they have. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, that's a safety. He just was placed on IR. Emmanuel Mosley, that's a corner. He hasn't practiced. He hasn't played yet. Kirby Joseph, that's a safety. He hasn't practiced this week. Julian Okwara, Josh Pascal, James Houston, those are all front seven guys. They're all hurt. So, like, I mean, that's like seven starters basically right there that are all out for the Lions. So, somebody's scoring a lot of fantasy points this week on the Falcons. We have high rankings on Algier, obviously Bijan. And I think that Drake London, even if the pass game is as ridiculous as it is for the Falcons, like dead last in neutral pass rate, Drake London in this good of a matchup, clean of a matchup with his talent, I refuse to move him lower than this.
Garrett Wilson is your wide receiver 30 to round up these top three tiers facing the New England Patriots. It's a tightrope that anyone who's starting Garrett Wilson is trying to traverse right now.
He only has one target downfield, 15 yards downfield. I'm hoping that gets better. This is just like another brutal matchup. Like I'm hoping that we can like look back after these first 3 weeks and be like, okay, they did face three absolutely loaded defenses and maybe things get cleaned up. But Christian Gonzalez, the rookie corner, he's the number one graded rookie, held out on Tyreek Hill on a couple press man matchups as well. So not a clean matchup for Garrett Wilson on top of all the quarterback stuff. Go back to stats versus film if you want to laugh about some of the Jets charts through the first 2 weeks.
Tier four begins with Michael Thomas as your wide receiver 31 this week. He's doing his best old man Larry Fitzgerald impression where he's not going to give yards at the catch. He's going to body and win with leverage. Now I'll just bring you to wide receiver 32, Hayden. Marquise Brown facing the Dallas Cowboys. Talk to me.
Michael Thomas is the wide receiver 3 in expected touchdowns. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet, so a little bit of positive regression there. I'm with you, though. Like, he's such a fun player to watch because he is going to leave these corners in the ice bath super banged up because he plays with so much physicality. But like, if you just watch him actually run in a straight line, he just doesn't have that. Or at least he's getting his legs back if you want to have a more optimistic lens.
Anything on Hollywood? Or it's just like, hey, Arizona Cardinals, don't watch.
Yeah, 43.5 yards in the pick'em lobby. They're not going to score many touchdowns. I think he's a good enough player. Michael Wilson, like, only used down the field right now. They're not getting Rondale Moore involved. So this is kind of where he's at.
One of your best calls so far this year has been Josh Reynolds. He checks here as wide receiver 33. He's wide receiver 46 in Fantasy Pros consensus rankings. I think even with like a healthy Amon-Ra St. Brown, you'd rank him in this territory too.
Yeah. So I'm monitoring. Josh Reynolds has been on the injury report as well. So he's got an injury. Amon-Ra's got an injury. So this is a wait and see, but I do want to give credit where it's due. Josh Reynolds, a wide receiver 11 on wide receiver 35 usage. I don't think Marvin Jones literally can't play. They're not trying to make Khalif Raymond a thing. And Josh Reynolds been like actually winning in isolation here. Up and down matchup for him. AJ Terrell, outside corner, really good. They're a second outside corner. Trey Flowers is miserable. I don't think they're going to like, I don't think Josh Reynolds has earned shadow coverage from AJ Terrell. So I think that he's got an up and down matchup here. I'm hoping the Detroit Lions will pass the ball a little bit more because they don't have David Montgomery, but we'll wait till Sunday morning when we have a little more clarity on the injuries.
Yeah, he's run a route on 82% of dropbacks. No other wide receiver other than Amon-Ra St. Brown or Josh Reynolds has been in a route for more than 60% of dropbacks in both games.
I think that's trending to 100%. I think they're just like getting rid of Marvin Jones, basically.
Jerry Jeudy up next is your wide receiver 34. It kind of gets tough going from here on out. Let's be real. Jerry Jeudy has not done anything since coming back from injury, but that's to be expected because it seemed like a very significant hamstring issue that he's working back from. Plus, you have the up and down nature of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's all deep balls right now. So I think Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy I have ranked very similarly. I don't think Marvin Mims is going to get more involved. He's just going to be a rotational deep threat. So I would like to see Jerry Jeudy earn it before I rank him higher than that. I will say before the season, I was very optimistic on Jerry Jeudy because he closed last year really strong. But let's see him get back there before I start moving him into like the wide receiver 3 range.
Christian Kirk is your wide receiver 35. I think this is an important conversation because we've got an awful week from Christian Kirk in week one. And then a great one in week two. And I think part of that is just the personnel groupings and the usage they've had him in. And now with like this Zay Jones injury and not practicing kind of throws it in more flux. This is basically locking into your wide receiver 3 or flex territory, but not a ton of confidence right now in like our firm grasp of Christian Kirk in this team right now.
I have an announcement. Before we went live here, I did move Christian Kirk way up by Zay Flowers just because gaining more confidence Zay is not going to be effective or in the lineup at all. And Christian Kirk was their easy button when the ground game wasn't working, and that's been a problem for them. So he's been the easy button out in the flats and stuff. So good matchup for Kirk as well, going back to the injuries that the Texans have had, specifically in the secondary. So I feel pretty confident Christian Kirk this week. Even if he's not going to be a full-time player, I think they're just like when they drop back to pass, they need the easy button in the flat sometimes. And I think that can be Christian Kirk still.
I don't want to be this binary, but it kind of does depend on if he's a two wide receiver set player to me. Like they use 11 personnel in week one on 62% of passing plays. And then in week two, that was at 83%. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty stark, which environment he got home in from a game standpoint. But like we've heard from Doug Peterson this week that, hey, Tim Jones might see more time as so he can run block and he offers that bigger body. Who knows if they want to really establish the run against their matchup this week. Yeah. But based on dollars in the direction of Christian Kirk, you would think that he's a two wide receiver set player after he was already one last year.
Yeah. I would like to see Tim Jones in two wide receiver sets before I make that assumption. I'll put it that way. I hear it's possible, though.
Right.
It's possible.
Let's just go through these next two quickly because DJ Moore is wide receiver 36. Just an awful situation he has in that passing game. And you're basically hoping for garbage time this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Is that correct? And then the Terry McLaurin at wide receiver 37 had a long touchdown, as he is known to do, because he rarely scores any inside the 20-yard line. But he's even still working back from a turf toe issue.
Yeah, I might move Terry McLaurin up a little bit. My DJ Moore note was what's crazy about his production is he's actually a negative regression candidate. He's leading all wide receivers in completion percentage over expected at 39% above expectations. So not a good sign.
It should be even worse for DJ Moore than it is right now.
Right. So, but that said, the Bears have been so miserable. I think they will be better than what they've showed the first 2 weeks. It is a good matchup for DJ Moore just because of pass volume here. But yeah, it's just not going to be pretty.
The team hasn't really, again, spoken about Terry McLaurin's injury right now, but he's run a route on 81% of dropbacks, which is 46th among all wide receivers. Compare that to Jahan Dotson, who's been at 93% of dropbacks. Mm-hmm. So they are giving Terry some rest here and there. Okay, let's round out this tier with three very unique names. Elijah Moore, wide receiver 38, Sky Moore as wide receiver 39, and then Robert Woods all the way up as wide receiver 40. You hit the spectrum here.
I really did. Let's talk about Sky Moore. Notorious Sky Moore hater. I'm claiming it this week. Sky Moore, you could do worse than start Sky Moore because this is under the assumption Kadarius Toney hasn't practiced this week. If he's not going to play, that's good news for Sky Moore. Same thing with Richie James. I think what we started to see last week is the route participation instead of going to about six or seven players, it's now getting closer to like only three or four of them. I think it's going to be Sky Moore, MVS, and Justin Watson running a ton of routes. MVS and Justin Watson run like this, and then you have a chance that Sky Moore is just going to be next to Travis Kelce. And this Bears defense, I mean, cut me a break. This is brutal, and they might be missing Eddie Jackson. They're starting a second-round rookie on the perimeter here. So if there's a week for Sky Moore to do something at all, I'm claiming it now. I can remain a hater, but for this week, I'm making an exception. How about that?
I believe I read that Patrick Mahomes, despite everyone envisioning Patrick Mahomes like being a scrambling quarterback, is holding onto the football longer than ever this year. And to me, that stands out as he just is not liking on those improv plays, what he is seeing with his wide receivers creating space for themselves. Mm-hmm. Just quickly on Elijah Moore, 37.5 yards in the higher or lower pick'em lobby. If you think that he is going to have a much better week than wide receiver 38, there you go. Play it in the pick'em lobby. And quickly in Robert Woods, 19 targets through 2 weeks. Yeah. I will add that's going to be great usage in your model, but it's like the least important of that group where Tank Dell has more explosion than him. And we already talked about Nico Collins being the downfield player. Robert Woods is the volume sponge, if you will.
Yeah, like you said, wide receiver 39 on wide receiver 13 usage. I'm expecting that inefficiency to remain here. I have a couple like random wild names I updated my rankings on.
Oh, well, can I quickly get to your wide receiver 41 if it still exists? Because this is continuing to be a shot at me. Wide receiver 41 is Jahan Dotson. I'm telling you, a big game is inevitable. Don't watch Jahan Dotson. Mm-hmm. He's still doing great stuff out there. The ball just has not come in his direction despite 12 targets over the last 2 weeks, 8 catches just for 62 yards. I will repeat, a big Jahan Dotson game is inevitable, just might not happen against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'm just on my radar. I agree. Jahan Dotson's a dog. It's on my radar, though, that his average depth of target is lower. He's playing more in the slot, and that could be a good thing. I think it's like a good use of like Jahan Dotson's skill set. But at the same time, I'm a little bit worried that this Washington offense is just taking a little bit too much of the Eric Bieniemy stuff. And I'd rather just be like, all right, we're winning with Jahan Dotson no matter what. And they're kind of just like spreading the ball around a little bit too much. So we'll see. Something to monitor.
Okay. Give me some of those random names if you want to from here.
Okay. Jaden Reed. I moved up to my wide receiver 38. And same thing with Brandon Cooks. So we'll start with Jaden Reed. This is my assumption that Christian Watson is going to be out. If you're looking at just cornerback matchups, right now PFF's number one corner is Marshon Lattimore. He's always been an outside wide receiver, so that'll be Romeo Dobbs' problem. And then in the slot, because Marshon Lattimore's been so good, their nickel corner, Elante Taylor, has allowed the most targets on their coverage snaps in the NFL. So that's where Jaden Reed is going to be utilized. If Christian Watson's out, the matchups look pretty nice for Jaden Reed. We've seen a little bit of dink and dunk usage for Jaden Reed to get him schemed up. And then for Brandon Cooks, very similar thing. Looking at the matchup here, Marco Wilson, the Cardinals outside wide receiver, he's allowed the most yards in the NFL at corner. And then their number two corner is a sixth round rookie corner. That's also a good matchup for Brandon Cooks, who's going to be working on the outside too. So as long as Brandon Cooks is healthy, I think Cooks and Jaden Reed are like guys that you can get in the mix.
Quick apology for Jaden Reed. I momentarily use Romeo Dobbs as your headshot. Flip that immediately once I noticed my mistake. That's on me. Okay, just to close this out, let's throw up names like Cortland Sutton and Adam Thielen and Romeo Dobbs and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Is it going to happen? Maybe not until after what, the week four bye. Then we get a week five from him after the post bye rookie bump. And then guys like Jacoby Myers, KJ Osborne, and Rashid Shaheed close out your top 50.
Yeah, none of those guys are standing out to me. I will give you one crazy name. River Craycraft. Is he even in your lobby? You might have to just make this thing up. River Craycraft. Yes, put Cooper Kupp in there. That's closest to it. River Craycraft is, first of all, he has more wide receiver usage than Jalen Waddle. I'm assuming that Jalen Waddle is not going to be playing. He hasn't practiced yet. The Broncos' number two corner, he's allowed the third most targets per snap. And I think that's another reason, because Patrick Surtain's a dog on the other side. So then the other corners get peppered the entire time. River Craycraft right now is the wide receiver 7 in yards per out run. I think he's going to become a starter if Waddle is out. And this offense has been so good that I think River Craycraft could be a you can do worse guy.
Couple notes. Rashid Shaheed has only run a route on 66% and 66% of the dropbacks in the first 2 weeks. He, on a 66% snap count rate, can get home because he's awesome. He's awesome. But just keep that in mind if you have some weeks where you might only get 1 or 2 or 3 points. Kendrick Bourne went from 93% route rate down to 55.3, and that is directly involved with Devontae Parker coming back. The one name I think you're still underrating, and this is a look in the mirror moment for me, is Tank Dell. 14 targets in 2 games. He looks like, again, that explosive element that's just not the downfield player who can also win after the catch, can line up in the slot or out wide. And we know that with Noah Brown going to injured reserve, his route rate jumped from 48% to 84%.
I have Tank Dell as my wide receiver 54. So yeah, now he's
going to be top 50 for me. If you ask me who I want to start on a weekly basis, KJ Osborne or Tank Dell, I'm probably taking Tank Dell.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same tier. So I might look into that a little bit more and move him up just a tad.
Okay, that's going to do it. Thank you all for tuning in. You can check out these rankings. And most importantly, you can check out our Sunday morning Q&A show, because all the news that happens on Fridays and Saturdays and Sunday mornings, we'll bring it to you 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I'll be watching the final 15 minutes of that Villa match live. So I might be crying. I might be happy, but a few expletives. We'll see. Go and check out our running back tiers, quarterback, tight end, sicko tier charts as well. Anything you want to say, Hayden?
I also do more research on Fridays and Saturdays. So my rankings do update. So pay attention.
Okay. We'll see you all Sunday. Thanks, producer Weaves. Thanks to all of you, the 30 percenters who watch and subscribe. Up the Villa. We'll talk to y'all soon.